Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Jeffrey Copeland joins us. This conversation is sponsored by the good folks at Northwestern Hospital, Lake Forest. Hold on a second. Let me turn this piece of paper. I got some questions for you, doctor. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Jen, did I hear that right? You're the world record holder in cornhole?
Yes.
Is that what you just said?
That is what I said.
That is a distinction, sir. I'm impressed.
You have to be careful how you ask that question. You can tell you're a doctor, not a lawyer. You said, did I hear you correctly, and did you say that? The answer to both of those questions, Your Honor, is yes. You did hear me correctly say that.
Your veracity, Mr. Williams, is never questioned. You know that.
Well, yours sure isn't. What's the most important thing lately we should be knowing about boosters? Everybody is talking about boosters again, Doc.
Well, we're going to get an approval, it looks like, from FDA on a new version of the vaccine, the one we've been talking about, that will continue to have a component that is similar, actually exactly the same, of what the original vaccine that we've all gotten is, our primary series and then the boosters. And then they're adding another component against this B5 of Omicron that we're dealing with, and also B4. So those vaccines have been in production already by both Moderna and Pfizer. The FDA should be coming out with a statement within the next several weeks that hopefully will say that we believe that this is safe and an effective vaccine. And then we'll find out what the schedule will be, who can get it and when, because the production is going to continue through the fall and early winter. So whether there'll be a phased rollout or people can just make appointments and go in and get it when they want, we don't know. But that's what we have to look forward to now, John.
Should the teachers and students be wearing masks in the schools?
I personally believe it's okay not to. I know there'll be some teachers who probably are going to want to. I think that the what we now know about children and COVID, even when they get it, the vast, vast majority of kids, the overwhelming number, are going to do just fine. I think the educational and developmental issues that have arisen because of the use of masks in schools, I think we're past that. And I think where we are right now, it's okay to go forward without masks.
Kevin Most, your colleague, told Bob Surratt this week that he wants the masks off in the hospital for staff for some of the same reasons the teachers might benefit for having them off. Better communication leads to better care or better instruction. Do you think we should not have to wear masks in hospitals?
I think healthcare facilities, we're going to continue to see masks for the foreseeable future. Let's not forget there's still a lot of virus around in the community. In our healthcare facilities, particularly our hospitals, we take care of a lot of people who are immunosuppressed, who have other disease states. We really don't want them to get COVID. We don't want our healthcare providers to get COVID. There's a lot of COVID still in the hospitals, as I said. So I think for the foreseeable future, we're going to continue to see a requirement that everybody in healthcare facilities wear a mask. And I will talk to Dr. Most about this when I talk to him next. I didn't hear what he said, but I'd be very, very interested in getting his perspective on this subject.
You know, boy, it's funny what he said and what he meant can be different things. But I definitely heard his frustration. And Bob Surratt's going to talk to Dr. Fauci on Thursday, before we even knew that Fauci was in fact going to retire from public service. And Bob asked Kevin, what would you like me to ask him? And he said, ask him when the masks are going to come off, because our ability to help people is compromised by the mask. You could hear the frustration in Kevin's voice.
I think many of our colleagues, though, would choose to continue to wear masks.
Well, sure. But I don't think, but so maybe like the teachers in the schools, if you feel better about it, wear it. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. Somebody else said this week that, that's just another way to imagine one way to go forward, that America would have been better off if instead of taking kids out of school or wearing the masks in the school, we had closed the coffee shops and restaurants. And when we opened them up, made sure everybody wore the masks there. We were so hyper-vigilant about the children that in many ways they lost a lot of learning opportunities. I'm talking a lot here, Doctor. What are you hearing?
Yeah, you know, I think the larger question here, Jim, when we look into the past, how we reacted to the virus at the various stages, the decisions that were made and why, I so strongly hope that we see a proper accounting of the decisions, the method whereby our public officials made the decisions that they made, what worked, what didn't work, how perhaps we could have done this better. This is really, really important that we do this. I'm fearful that we might not. I'm fearful that we might not, for political reasons, do this correctly. You know, let's all think back to after 9/11, the 9/11 Commission, its findings in its report was incredibly important to America and the world. We've done very well since the horror of 9/11, being able to avoid another attack like that. And a lot of that is because of what came out of the 9/11 Commission. Its analysis of what occurred, what we should have done better, its report recommendations, and how Congress then took those recommendations. I personally hope, John, that we see a similar effort occur about this pandemic. Mm-hmm. We need to learn from this, and we need to be prepared should it occur again.
Some of your questions for Dr. Jeffrey Copen include, I got the first booster. Should I get my second or wait for the new shot? And for that matter, can you get the new vaccine without getting the second booster? Skip that one because everybody's jazzed about number three. And finally, a new study suggests COVID increases the risk of brain disorders. Doctor, what do you know about those couple of questions that a couple of our listeners texted in a minute ago? Do I have to get booster two in order to get number three, or can I skip number two?
Yeah, so the key thing is what CDC is calling the initial series, which is the first two of the mRNA vaccine, Moderna or Pfizer. So if somebody's had those first two, then they can have a choice. They can go ahead and get another booster now if they qualify, or if they decide now it's already the middle of August, there's a good chance we'll see the Pfizer vaccine as early as the middle of September, Moderna by October. If somebody were to say, you know what, I'm going to wait until that's okay. There's no reason, though, not to get the booster that's available now and then wait a little bit, October into November, even December, and then get the new one at that time. That would work, too. So you have a nice choice. But the key thing, Jen, and our listeners really need to understand this, it's having the first two, the initial series, having the first booster that was available, which is number three. Many people qualify for number four. Mm-hmm. You can decide to get that, or you could wait if you haven't gotten it yet and get the new one that's coming out. So get what you can get. Make sure that you're fully vaccinated. And we're starting this fall, we'll be talking a lot about the new vaccine. And I'm also going to emphasize the importance of getting the influenza vaccine then, too.
63-year-old Tom says, I have two shots and one booster and then caught COVID 3 weeks ago. Does that count as a second booster? How long should I wait to get another booster?
Yeah, there's no question that the natural immunity that comes from getting infected, that counts a lot. Matter of fact, our bodies, when our immune systems react to the natural infection, there's a lot going on, and it's all really good for us. And I'm sure our listener did well. He was vaccinated and boosted. That keeps us from getting sick, which is the bottom line. So yeah, I think if this, if our listener is otherwise healthy, you could choose to wait until the new vaccine is available and get that.
One last thing, doctor, and we'll talk about this in greater length another day, but between 7 and 23 million people, it is estimated, have long COVID, the term for all kinds of symptoms, fatigue, breathlessness, anxiety. But there is a study from Lancet Psychiatry that suggests that there's also a risk for brain disorders with COVID. What are you hearing about all of this?
There's no question that there is a group of patients who have neurological and psychiatric issues following their infection with COVID. We've known from the beginning that's been going on. The study that you just referred to is a chart review of over a million charts. It's amazing what can be done now with what's called big data, looking at these very, very large data sets. And what this study shows is there is a group of people that have developed neurologic and psychiatric issues after their COVID infection. What exactly this means, we don't know, but we're starting to understand more and more that just like with many other infections, there is a phenomenon that as people recover from an infection, and I really want to stress the point that this is not limited to COVID. This is true with many other infections. There are post-infectious complications that can occur later after the infection seemingly clears and can continue for a period of time. So that seems to be what they're picking up on in that study in Lancet Psychiatry. And one other point, John, in that study, there's also some good news. The majority of people who did have the neurological and psychiatric phenomenon improved within a couple of months. Mm. So that's great.
Yeah.
There is also, though, that group that continued to have these issues, and that's the group that's being studied pretty intensely right now.
More about that down the road then with Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine at Lake Forest Hospital. It is always a pleasure, Doctor. Thanks for visiting with us today.
I'm going to go work on my cornhole game now, John, so I can compete with you.
Doesn't matter. I got the world record. You heard me say.
Congratulations.
You heard me say that I have the world record. Thank you, Doctor.
Take care.